which I'm going to bring on our next guest, who is an extraordinary educator in her own right, Sister Vanessa Perry DeReese, the Director of Training at the Metropolitan Peace Academy. Good morning, Sister Vanessa.
Good morning, Brother Obadeli. How are you, Sister Africa? How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, Sister. So good to hear your voice. Happy Saturday to you. Thank
Happy
you for joining us
both.
Yes, good morning, Sister Vanessa. It's great to hear your voice. And so we're going to jump right into it as it relates to educating our community. I'll just let you go. And I can't say enough. I'll go on probably for 20 minutes talking about you and how wonderful you are. So I'm not going to do that. I'll just let you jump right into it. Sister Vanessa, I can't give the 1, 2, 3 boom this morning, but tell the WVON family a little bit about yourself, and then you can go into what is the Metropolitan Peace Academy.
Sure. So thank you for having me this morning, Tebo. It's really an honor to be asked just to talk about the work that is going on, that I have done, I continue to do. It's just an honor to be a part, first and foremost. Just a little bit about myself. Prior to coming to the Metropolitan Peace Academy, I served with the Chicago Public Schools for 20 years. I am a native Southsider, grew up on the southeast side of the city, as many would say. We would call it, I'm learning through the Peace Academy, it's called Tarrytown. So I'm from Tarrytown, grew up there, born and raised through the Chicago Public School system, and just really saw a lot, really learned a lot about myself and about community. And so from there, took my talents to CPS for 20 years, and I served as a teacher. I taught history on the West Side for about 10 years at Westinghouse. Then I became a counselor, working with the intrinsic and the extrinsic values of our teenagers during the time when Tupac had just been murdered. That was huge during that time. And so just trying to set you guys in a context of the time when I was growing up. And so what you have to understand as an educator, you may be teaching students some content, but students really teach you. And so I learned a lot during my time as a teacher, and that really informed the way to love on our babies and the way to build rapport with our babies and what they needed, you know, as kids. And so it took my, when I transitioned as a counselor, it really helped me to really reach them and to really build their capacity to be great. And so then after that, I became an administrator. You know, I transitioned and became an assistant principal at Al Raby, still on the West Side. And then transitioned and became a principal of Douglas High School in the Austin community for 5 years. And so I was able to see the educational realm from different aspects and just how it impacted our communities and the supports and lack thereof. And so after 20 years, I began to transition and found myself being asked to write the curriculum for this thing called the Metropolitan Peace Academy. And so when I came to the table, things had already been brewing. I hadn't heard much about it, but I knew anything called peace and dealing with peace was something near and dear to my heart, and it would connect me right back to impacting the babies that I just transitioned from. And so as a result, we wrote the curriculum with the help, with the guidance of Dr. Troy Harden and Dr. Jerry Watson, both professors of social work. And so this piece that I'm talking about, this curriculum, is not just a black and white document, but it's a lot of heart work. It's a lot of mind work. It's a lot of intrinsic and extrinsic value work that we built into these 144 hours capacity building. We built a professional learning community where men and women who have long been undervalued come and they understand their value. We build that worth as a community. They understand that unique skill set that they bring to the city. They understand that the impact that they can have and that they are having as a city. And so what we do at the Academy as the Director of Training, what I try to do each and every day is allow them to understand their collective impact. And so in that space, I understood that as we were writing the curriculum, they have to understand we have to build community. You know, not only are we trying to teach them about being professional and the day in the life of a street outreach worker and structural violence, but in that, those 25 men and women for 4 hours a day, they get an opportunity, you know, 144 hours, 4 hours on Tuesday, 4 hours on Thursday, to really come together as a collective and understand that on the north side of the city, on the west side of the city, on the east side of the city, and on the south side of the city, there are violent concerns that they are attending to. And this unique skill set brings them together as a collective unit and really allows them to understand the collective effort as in that just, that's the impact. And therein lies the boom. And so I talk about the boom as an energizer, but not only that, the boom reminds us that that's just our collective effort. Like, Bomani is powerful. Africa, you are a powerful sister, but just collectively, just imagine the impact you can have on this city if we come collectively together. And that's what we talk about at the Academy. We bring our unique skill sets. All the superheroes convene for 4 hours on Tuesday, as I said before, 4 hours on Thursday for 18 weeks. This commitment is 18 weeks, these men and women who are fighting overnight when we're sleeping. And they commit to me for 4 hours a day and on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And so we have to bring it for them each and every day because they are committed to doing that. And they have done so. We are currently in our fifth cohort, and it has been a blessing. It is a necessary lift for our community. They help to connect the need that we have so far gone under needed in our communities. And these outreach workers have committed their lives to doing this. While many of us are sitting home right now, they are either intervening, they're either supporting, they're either de-escalating some instance in the communities across the city. And so what this work is, why this work is so critical, why this work is so paramount, is that these are superheroes who are putting their lives on the line right now facing two fronts, not just the violence that they do 24/7, but this pandemic that is facing our communities that so happens to fall so heavily in our Black and brown communities. And mm-hmm. so that is something that helps to inform the work that we do at the Metropolitan Peace Academy. It helps to inform the icebreakers that we do. A lot of them say, oh, you do a lot of touchy-feely icebreakers. Yes, but it's all strategic. A lot of what we do is everything is strategic. And it's all by design. So in an effort to create a professional learning community, you have to build that community. And through and while we're building community, I may ask you a question that may seem very, very low level. Like, what do you like? Tell me about yourself. And how many times have these men and women been asked about themselves? How many times have they been given a safe space to really come together to talk about things that ill them, things that they need to and help them grow? And so when they begin to release, they can then go out there and be even more powerful. Can you imagine that we're creating an army of people who are even more powerful? They already have a unique skill set. They already walk around with a cape on their backs that we don't see. They already do the work that a lot of people don't even know about. But just imagine this, creating this army of men and women who are even more powerful. They come with a unique skill set. And so what we do is we build that armor. We massage that armor at the Peace Academy. We console them. We support them. We build them up. We empower them. And it's collective. So now just imagine, I think we have 94 graduates thus far. We have 33 currently in this current cohort who are still meeting virtually. They are still meeting virtually. Still committed to this work, even though they're facing two pandemics. So they're still meeting for the Metropolitan Peace Academy.
You can't tell me that they're not superheroes.
I can talk all day. So I'll stop there and turn it back over to you guys.
No, I want to just cut in and say that I am a proud member of Cohort 5. I will say your level of professionalism, but your ability to really pull out things and with a lot of folks who have these shells, right? And I will say this, and shout out to every community outreach worker that is working in these 25 communities across the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think people really know the level of intervening or the level of intervention, the level of prevention that these brothers and sisters have done. We talk a lot about the violence that is happening and when someone gets shot, but it could be five or six more incidents that could have happened. But there's data to back up the show where violent incidents have been disrupted and interrupted in our community based upon having these community outreach people. So just really thank you for the work that you're doing and have been doing. I know that you guys are up to cohort 6 at this point, so
Cohort 5. We're cohort 5 now. You were a part of cohort
5. Five. Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem.
I guess they say two things happen when you get old, Sister Vanessa. The first one,
no problem, my brother. I got your back. You know that.
The second one, I forgot. But something that's very intriguing, I don't think the Black community know a lot about it. I want you to touch on it. And I was trying to join in on your webinar, but, what happens with technology. This ACES, can you just talk to us about the ACES?
Adverse childhood experiences?
Yes.
Okay. So adverse childhood experiences is just what we're talking about. So things that are traumatic or traumatic instances that happen to children when they're young, to people when they're young. So instances like divorce or when a parent goes to prison or some level of abuse physically, emotionally, mentally. These particular instances are compounded over a period of time. Say, for instance, a child may be exposed to physical abuse. In addition to that, their parent may have been incarcerated. The child may be hungry. The child may be doubled up in a home, or a child, anything that may be adverse. As we know, a child's life should be a honeymoon period. That's what we talk about at the Peace Academy. From 0 to 18, we feel that as a community, we are supposed to protect our children. And so during that time, they should be able to experience some level of a utopia. They should not necessarily have to be exposed to a lot of the day-to-day norms of killings and murders and violence that we see in our communities. And those things take a toll, as we call these adverse childhood experiences, adverse, meaning that that is something that is adverse to what a child should experience in that time period. So as a result, it is adverse to their development. And so as a result, it impacts their brain development. It impacts their ability to cognitively develop, and that impacts their ability to perform well in school. You may see irrational behaviors or things that may be deemed little Johnny may be bad, but no, not necessarily little Johnny is bad, but what has happened to little Johnny? What has little seen, or what has this young man been exposed to, and what has baby not been exposed to?
Meaning that
have we not nurtured him? Has he not received any hugs? Has anyone checked in to see how he's doing? You know, our babies need that. And so anything outside of that nurturing, anything outside of that realm of development is adverse to our children. And so as a result, we see these behaviors in our students. We see these behaviors in our students in school. We see these behaviors in our kids in community. And they are crying out because in their brain, because they are constantly in this state of fight, flight, or freeze as a result of trauma, it manifests in behaviors that we see. We see these behaviors in our communities that we say, I don't know what's wrong with those kids. Well, think about what they see on the day-to-day basis. Think about their norm. Put yourselves in their shoes. We didn't, as a child, I didn't see that. You know, I received certain level of attention. You know, although you may be exposed to certain things, you still receive some love. You still receive nurturing. The community still wrapped around us. We still wrapped around our babies, even when we saw them misbehaving. Oftentimes now we say, I don't want to say anything to our babies. But whatever the experience may be, and I don't want to cast judgment on anyone, because we always want to present a solutions-based response to what we're talking about in our community. So as a result, I say that to say, we can begin just by saying hello. I used to be that person. So I talk from a place of experience. So what I began to do now as a result of working with street outreach workers, I'm telling you the truth, they really showed me what community is. So I began to open my mouth and say hello. Even as an educator coming home to my community, I wanted to be that same person. So I had to hold myself accountable, as bubbly and as energetic, as connective as I tried to be to my babies inside those four walls or that school building. I had to hold myself accountable and be the same way to that young man I see at the gas station, to that same group of people that I see standing outside the store when I go down there to get my newspaper or things like that. You know, and so because that is community. And so I say that to say the adverse childhood experiences oftentimes keeps us kind of disconnected, because we begin to manifest behaviors that keep us socially isolated. So you'll see a lot of behaviors, a lot of drug use, a lot of alcohol abuse, a lot of socialization from school, because they have other things, a lot of noise in their head. They've been exposed to a lot of trauma, and that then takes us away from norms that should be regulated for our children.
Wonderful. Time is of the essence. We got about 5 minutes, so I would like for you to take 2 minutes, Sister Vanessa, and if you introduce me to this through the Peace Academy, and I just love it. And I think there's one of our callers who called in, Brother Art, who talks about community code of conduct. And I want you to take 2 minutes, if you could, and just explain to the VON family, how do we create this beloved community? I love the word. I just want to know, how do we create it? How do we
create it? So yeah. Do you mean how we create it at the Academy or just in general?
I would say in general, but you can talk about, you know, creating it in the Academy.
So,
but I think
that is the entire goal. Thank you for that, Bomani. So as you know, the Metropolitan Peace Academy is a part of a larger team. And so that team is the Metropolitan Peace Initiative. And the Metropolitan Peace Initiative's team, we support this collective group of community outreach organizations. Those 15 organizations are called Communities Partnering for Peace. For Peace, that four represents our pillars, right? Those pillars are trauma-informed, restorative justice, hyperlocality, and nonviolence. And so restorative justice, you hear me talk about that, but let me talk more about that. So restoring the beloved community, there are four different things and four different aspects to that. And that first aspect is educate. You know, we must educate our community about these instances, about what's going on around this instance, around COVID-19. We're all experiencing that now. Now that you see the public ed that we're distributing. So educating. The next element would be consoling. Now that we've educated you, let's come together as a community and console. Let's console one another around what is going on and the impact that it's having in the various areas in our community. After that, after we console, then we sustain. How do we become resilient and sustain our new norm? Because you know we have to come through this. We're going to come on the other side of this and have a new norm. We have a new norm now. So how do we sustain this new norm in our effort to build this beloved community? And then finally, when we do that, because we are resilient and we will always be resilient, the last element to building the beloved community is celebration. So we must celebrate. We cannot forget to celebrate. So I talk again, in order to build the beloved community, good people, we must educate, we must console, we must sustain each other, and we must celebrate one another.
That's right.
And so, indeed. And that's what I speak to, and that's what the effort is, and with the frame that we come from at the Metropolitan Peace Academy, you know, and throughout.
Sister, can you please give us your contact? I have so many people on the Facebook page. They're asking, how do they reach you? They want to collaborate. They want to be a part of the cohort. They need your information.
Wonderful. Boom. Awesome. So I'll give you my email address. Do you want me to give it to you offline? That's not a problem.
You can give it to me now.
I can give it to you offline. It's totally up to you.
Yeah, right now. I take it now. And
okay, my last name, Dereef, so that's D as in David, E as in Eric, R as in Ralph, E as in Eric, E as in Eric, F as in Frank. So that's Dereef, first letter V as in Victor, at metrofamily.org.
Thank you so very much. I love it. Thank you.
And Sister Vanessa, time is of the essence. We only have like 60 seconds left. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We got to
thank you
back.
For having me. Thank you, Sister Africa, Brother Bomani. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you. Sister Africa, you real quick before we go off?
Just love and peace to everybody. We thank everyone that listened, all those who are still on hold to get through on the line. Thank you for thinking enough about this show. I want to pour in. Please go to the Facebook page. Bomani Obadeli's page is open. I'm sharing it. And post what you do, who you are, what your resources are for our community. We all about solutions to the violence, and we thank you for listening today.
Thank you to Sister Vanessa and the Metropolitan Peace Academy, and we're going to go out one pass and 1, 2, 3. Boom.
I've had heartaches like this before, and disappointments by the score. I claim the victory at last. This too will pass.
The Talk of Chicago and the Voice of the Nation, 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.